cards and just 6 9 swing at you. Shoot the 3.
Urban Meyer, a liar. Don't believe a word he said.
Look at you go.
Look at that. It's like seeing a kid ride a bike. And I'm going to law school, baby. It all starts here.
Hello and welcome to a very special episode of the Alligator Sports Podcast. This is the College Football Preview Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Berry, and joining me for the entirety of the show today,
Bobby Colobi, football beat writer.
And we're going to break this show up into two parts. First, we're going to talk about the Southeastern Conference, some predictions for what's going to happen this season there. And joining us for that segment are
Mike McCall, football beat writer.
And Phil Kegler, football beat writer and Alligator Sports editor.
All right, and we're going to talk about the national scene a little bit later, but I figure we'll start off with the SEC. Let's get started with that. Just go over general team expectations. McCall, start us off with wherever you want to. I'll give you freedom on that.
Okay. I guess let's just go team by team. We'll leave out Florida because we're going to do that later in the week.
Right, yeah.
And we'll just go through the conference, talk about what we like and don't like about each team, and then at the end we'll give our predictions for the season. So first up, we have the Georgia Bulldogs. Georgia has a really tough schedule. I actually asked Mark Richt today on the SEC Coaches Teleconference, you know, how this happened and why they have this schedule. They start off the year at Oklahoma State. They also play Arizona State at home, and then they have their out-of-conference rivalry at Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
In addition to their SEC schedule, which obviously playing Florida is going to be really tough, that's bad. They have to go to Arkansas, which we might disagree on that. Mm. They do dodge the bullet of Ole Miss, LSU, and Alabama, but really tough schedule for Georgia, and it's not really what you want to see when you're kind of in a rebuilding year after you lose Matt Stafford and no Sean Moreno. So this is going to be a big year for Mark Richt to show just how good of a coach he is. Nobody's expecting Georgia to do anything because they're in the same division with Florida this year. I think they're the pretty big consensus pick by most people to finish second in the division because there isn't really that much going on in the East. Joe Cox is going to be the quarterback this year, following up in Matt Stafford's footsteps. He's been a backup for 3 years. He's really well-liked on the team. But coming out of high school, I believe his only scholarship offers were Georgia and Duke.
Ooh.
And there's a reason why he was a backup for 3 years. So it's going to be interesting to see how he does. Actually, I think he was Chris Leak's successor in high school because he went to the same high school.
Really?
So I think he followed him up. So it's really going to be all on Joe Cox this year as far as how the offense goes. The defense brings back most of their key players, but the defense wasn't that good last year. I think they allowed over 20 points a game. Yeah, they gave up 38 to LSU, 49 to Florida. They gave up 38 to Kentucky.
Ooh.
You know, some really poor performances down the stretch from them last year. Also gave up 41 to Alabama. So we'll see if the defense can recover this year. That and Joe Cox's performance, I think, are the two biggest things.
I mean, I see if Georgia losing, you know, first couple games early, they might start making that switch early because they got Aaron Murray, who's a big-time recruit at quarterback. If Joe Cox isn't cutting and they're losing early, Aaron Murray might be, you know, getting some play time real soon. One of the big things for the offense, and this could help Joe Cox or Aaron Murray, whoever is playing quarterback, is that the whole offensive line is back. I know they don't have Moreno anymore, but they have just a stable of good running backs that are behind him. Caleb King's going to be taking, I think, most of the carries. Who came out of high school very highly recruited as well. So they're going to probably have a very strong running game, which can take some of the pressure off Joe Cox. That plus he also gets to throw to AJ Green, which makes his job a lot easier.
Exactly. You know, I think they actually came out this week and said Richard Samuel is going to be the starting tailback. Everybody assumed it would be Caleb King, and rightly so, because he was a freak coming out of high school. But Richard Samuel is supposed to be the guy, and he's like a really tough runner, but also has a good burst of speed. They're really excited about him. And, you know, if you remember, no Sean Moreno wasn't exactly a household name coming into his first year. And they were talking about Samuel in much the same manner in the stories that I was reading. So he'll be another key to watch.
Are we all going to say Georgia finishes second in the East? Is that a fairly safe? Yeah, how much of a statement is that on how bad the East is this year other than Florida,
though? East is definitely down.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, like, the top four teams in the conference, I think everybody will agree, is definitely three teams from the West: Ole Miss, LSU, Alabama, and Florida. And then I think, you know, I'd argue Georgia's probably going to be a little bit better than Arkansas, which I have next in the West. But anyway, I don't want to jump ahead. But there's definitely a big power swing out West recently, which, like, kind of hurts them for anyone wanting to compete for a national title out there because they all have to play each other,
yeah.
And that's more potential for losses. You know, I feel like the winner out of the West will probably definitely have one loss, might have two losses. It's just going to be who wins the tiebreaker.
It's like a Big 12 situation. Like, the Big 12 South is so much better than the Big 12 mm-hmm. North. And this year, you know, the West is the Big 12 South.
The slight difference is, like, the SEC East has, like, Florida this juggernaut at the top, where, like, the top of the Big 12 North is, like, Nebraska.
Yeah, but I'm talking depth and everything.
Right, yeah.
Next team we'll move on to, probably going to be the most interesting team in the conference to watch this year, the Tennessee Volunteers. Bringing in Lane Kiffin, bringing in, like, that USC mentality and that swagger. He's really put the whole program into fast forward, assembled an all-star team of coaches, brought in a lot of good recruits. But they're going to have a lot of, you know, unproven freshmen on the team this year. I think Newkees Richardson actually is going to be starting because of all the injuries they've had at receiver. They're really hurting there. But really, when you look at their team, the only player you can really rely on is Eric Berry, their safety. And he's an incredible talent, but so much of it is going to fall on his shoulders this year. The defense wasn't bad last year. They're going to have to be a really strong defensive team this year, though, if they want to compete, because I really don't like Jonathan Crompton at quarterback still. I mean, I know that, you know, last year maybe some first-year jitters and everything. Maybe it'll be different this year, but he just didn't show much promise to me.
No, I just legitimately don't think he's that. Like, he's not going to be a top-tier quarterback, even in the SEC, and that's, you know, that's a division where John Brantley is probably the third best QB right now. I mean, and then their backups left, B.J. Coleman, pretty promising guy out of high school, left, transferred to back in the hometown, Chattanooga. I mean, like, even at depth, like, if Crompton's bad, I don't know where they even go from there, and I don't think Crompton's going to be good this year.
Right. I think a big thing in every team's fortunes this season, maybe besides Florida, is the scheduling. I know we didn't quite get into it yet, but when I'm looking at it, I think a big swing game for the East in general is going to be Tennessee hosting Georgia on October the 10th, which ironically is the same date Florida goes to Baton Rouge. But, like, if you look at that schedule, Tennessee has UCLA at home in week 2 and then comes to Gainesville in week 3. So it's not out of the question that they'd be 1-2. They open the season with Western Kentucky. You have to think Ohio U's a win, Auburn possibly a win. But then, so if you look at it, it's like they're going to be 2-3-2, maybe 2-3. Then they host Georgia. And then, like, the schedule picks up a lot because then they have a week off. They got to go to Alabama. They got to host South Carolina. And then they got to go to Ole Miss later in the year. I just feel like if too many losses stack up on a team that is, like, could swing either way, I just see this team going under.
I see this team actually as a bowl caliber team, not a big bowl, but they will be back into into one of the semi big bowls. Mm-hmm. But throughout the season, you're gonna see times where they flash like their old self, where they're actually a good team, especially with all the young talent that they have, and we'll be playing running back Bryce Brown will be a major contributor for them, and Newkees Richardson, as he mentioned, at wide receiver. So they've got young guys who are going to play, and you're going to see that talent at times, and then other times they're going to look lost, especially with a new coach and new offense coming in. But the defense is also being coached by Monty Kiffin, who is a defensive mastermind.
Actually, this is where I was going, because I was going to say Tennessee probably has the second best coaching staff in the SEC behind Florida, I would say.
If not just on the field coaches, recruiting-wise, absolutely. They went around and just took the best recruiters they can get.
Yeah.
That way, in a couple years, they can build a team that will compete with Florida.
Exactly.
Yeah, I definitely think Tennessee's going to be good. I think they're still a year away. Like, for really competing for the East, competing, you know, for a major, you know, those type of things. I mean, I see them as like a 7-5, an 8-4 team.
I mean, where do we stand on Lane Kiffin? Like, he wasn't good in the NFL. He's coming in. Can he coach successfully in college?
I don't think anyone can be good with the Raiders. So I don't think that's a good way to judge him. He was a very good coach, you know, offensive coordinator at USC. Great recruiter. He has Ed Orgeron, who is at USC, who's also a great recruiter, who put together most of that Ole Miss team that's, you know, at the top of most polls. So they've got people who can put together a good team. I think they can turn the program, put it, you know, right the ship some, but he's going to have to do it quickly because in the SEC you don't have much time to really rebuild.
It is going to be hard for Lane Kiffin to fail with the network that he set up for himself there. You mentioned Ed Orgeron, great recruiter. Monty Kiffin, excellent defensive coach. Lance Thompson, he just ripped Alabama's recruiting coordinator right out from under Saban's nose. That's incredible. He's also the linebackers coach, and he'll do a good job there. And then the offensive coordinator, I didn't know this until just today, but Jim Chaney, he was an assistant coach with the St. Louis Rams the last 3 years. Before that, he was at Purdue. He was the offensive coordinator. For 6 straight years, he had Purdue in the top 10 in the nation for overall offense. I mean, that's ridiculous. He's given himself a great support staff. He's got plenty of good recruiters. he's making Tennessee a very attractive place for people to go. So I'd expect big things from them in the future.
I was going to say, it sounds like we all kind of like Tennessee. Maybe not for this year, you know, probably around a little over 500 maybe. Do we feel safe with that?
Yeah.
But then in the future, you know, with the great staff he's assembled, like you said, Monty Kiffin is a defensive genius. Look at the work he did with the Tampa Bay Bucks, you know, getting to the Super Bowl and everything back in the early 2000s. Great coaching staff, great recruiting. They're going to be good in a couple of years.
Yeah, the big thing about the coaching staff is that they went around taking coaches from the SEC. These are coaches that have been recruiting players that, you know, that are now going to be on Tennessee's watch list, and they've built the connection with prospects. So now they can go and say, well, I'm at Tennessee now, come with me.
All right, let's move on to another team. Who's up next, McCall?
Okay, next we will go to South Carolina, Steve Spurrier's team. It's going to be tough for them to do better than their 7-6 record last year, I think. They only bring back 5 starters on offense and 6 on defense. They've got to go to Alabama. They got to go to Georgia. They start the year off at NC State. They've got to play Florida. They've got to go to Tennessee and to Arkansas. I'm not liking it. Their defense... the defense, they bring back Eric Norwood, linebacker, and Darian Stewart at safety. That's pretty much all the defensive talent. I mean, they'll be okay. I think I was talking to you guys about this earlier. Like, the way I look at it, kind of, it's hard for me to compare, like, my thoughts on South Carolina and Vanderbilt when, like, Vanderbilt can be great by Vanderbilt standards, which I think they are, and South Carolina can be, like, middling or poor by their standards. And I think of Vanderbilt more highly, even though South Carolina is still a better team. So I guess I still feel that way, but I don't believe in Steven Garcia, so it's going to be a rough year.
Yeah, Steven Garcia really has to step up and have a big season and be the type of player that everyone thought he was coming out of high school, because he was considered one of the better quarterbacks in his class. For me, this, I know it's hard to believe that Steve Spurrier could be on a hot seat, but at some point he's got to produce a quality winning team, not a 7-6, 8-4 team. He's got to put together a 9-10 win season at some point and just can't seem to really put it together.
But do we think that that's this year? Because I'm not really buying into South Carolina this year at all.
No. I read a column by one of the hometown columnists in Columbia saying, like, it's always wait till next year in South Carolina. It's the same thing this year. I don't see it happening. And I think Spurrier's seat is hot by his own just running out the clock. Like, I don't think Spurrier's going to stick around through mediocrity that much longer. I don't think they would fire him, but I could see him wanting to stop. And another interesting thing, Philip Fulmer wants to get back into coaching in the SEC. So let's say Spurrier hangs it up after this year. Maybe you could see Philip Fulmer in South Carolina. That'd be fun.
So he'd coach a mediocre South Carolina team for years to come?
Absolutely.
that's a lateral move at best.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to anything else about South Carolina. I don't know if there's any team we're less excited for than South Carolina that's, you know, supposed to be at least decent.
There's nothing, like, new or exciting. Exactly. And that's the problem.
I'm not buying them that they make bowl eligibility, actually, with this schedule. I mean, it's pretty rough. It's rough early, so you're not exactly stepping off on a very good foot.
Steven Garcia's confidence will be shaken.
Yeah, I mean, what confidence does he have anyway, or should he have? But, I mean, I see them as, like, I could see them very bad. I could see them 4-8.
All right, next up, the Vanderbilt Commodores. A historic season last year, going 7-6, getting to a bowl game. I don't know what to think about Vanderbilt. I mean, I really like Larry Smith, the guy they just named their starting quarterback, over Mackenzie Adams. Mackenzie Adams is pretty upset about that, actually, so that should be interesting. The only problem is Larry Smith doesn't have a lot to work with at receiver. No. They lost Sean Walker, DJ Moore, and George Smith, who were two of their more reliable guys. The defense, I think, could be pretty good. They bring back 9 starters on defense, and they weren't too bad last year, allowing under 20 points a game. So Vanderbilt will be interesting to watch to me. I think they could duplicate what they did last year, which is great by their standards, so they should be happy about that.
What's their schedule like, Phil?
It's easier than South Carolina's. It's kind of a mix. You know, they open the season hosting Western Carolina, then they got to go to Baton Rouge. It's like they break up. They're like card games.
It's weird looking.
Yeah, they host Mississippi State and then go to Rice. I don't know how good Rice is. I'll turn to our resident CUSA expert over here.
Not
good.
A factor.
Okay, so you got them at probably 3-1. Host Ole Miss, probably lost 3-2. Go to Army, that's a win. At 4, you got to host Georgia. Not good.
Nah.
At South Carolina, kind of the swing game because they're going to be fighting for like 4th in the SEC East. Then interesting, they scheduled Georgia Tech. Which is an interesting pick. They got Georgia Tech at home. They got to go to Florida. I mean, I could see them fighting for bowl eligibility again. Like, you got to win the games you're supposed to win, definitely. And then You know, it's the end of the season rival game at Tennessee, if they can pick that out.
This team goes from September 5th to November 21st without a bye.
I forgot
this. They play six road games, including at them. LSU, at Florida, and at Tennessee. That's a murderer's row. I don't know how they're going to pull that off. That's going to be really tough. I'm trying to find seven games in there that I think they'll win. I mean, Rice and Army, they should be able to handle. South Carolina will be a toss-up. Kentucky will be a toss-up. Western Carolina at the beginning of the year, Mississippi State. I mean, I don't know, though. That's a grind, and you can't really make up for injuries like that, and you don't even have a bye week.
I mean, how big of an indictment is that, though, on, like, the coaching staff and the athletic department that makes this schedule? I mean, I know, like, Vanderbilt's not, like, a football powerhouse. Maybe they can't always dictate when people are going to come play them in non-conference, but you just can't schedule 12 games in a row.
I want to say it wasn't entirely their fault. I read something.
I remember something dropping or something.
Something weird happened to them, and they kind of got stuck with it. And that was another interesting thing. When I talked to Mark Richt about their schedule today, he said, like, they wanted to be playing Oklahoma State and Arizona State in these teams. They never intended to have them both in the same year. Hmm. It just ended up happening that way. Like, that they were trying to avoid that, and they couldn't. So I don't think it's always, like, they get to sit down and really work it out. It kind of, since you're at the mercy of so many of the team's schedules and conference schedules, and when you're a Vanderbilt, you're just trying to get the game. So
you're trying to get out there in the spotlight, really, at this point. Right. What's their ceiling? 7-6, bowl eligible again?
Yeah.
I cannot see them winning seven games. I'm looking at this schedule. I've got three wins in West Carolina, Rice, and Army. Then three maybes in Mississippi State, South Carolina, and Kentucky. And then after that, they need an upset to get to the seventh. And I just can't see. I can't see them winning all three of the maybe games, let alone pulling off an upset. I see them going, 5-8, 4-something, whatever.
Mm. All right, I guess let's move on to our next team then, the bottom rung of the SEC East ladder.
The Kentucky Wildcats. I actually kind of like Kentucky. Their offense really, really sucked last year. It was really bad to watch. It was really tough, especially after the Andre Woodson days. But this year, I think with Mike Hartline having another year of experience at quarterback, I really like Randall Cobb. I don't know if you guys remember him. He was the quarterback. Now he's a receiver.
Yeah,
just kind
of
all-around playmaker. I love Randall Cobb. He's awesome. And that running back, Derek Locke, who got hurt last year. I believe he tore his ACL. Derek Locke's really good. I like him. He's kind of dynamic. We're talking about Kentucky, so he's really dynamic. Chris Matthews transferred in at wide receiver. He's pretty good. And let's not forget Trevard Lindley at corner. Would have been, I think, one of the better corners in the draft had he come out. And he's coming back to Kentucky for another year against Rich Brooks's advice. His coach told him to go to the NFL, and he said no. So I thought that was interesting. I like Lindley a lot, and it's really nice to know that you have a corner who can pretty much, you can factor out one receiver on the other team. I mean, he did pretty well against A.J. Green last year, as I recall. So he'll be an interesting guy to watch. I think the defense will be decent, and the offense will certainly be much more exciting. I don't know what you guys think about Kentucky.
You know, when I, like, start to hear about them and look some more into them, I kind of don't like Kentucky in the cellar of the SC East. Like, between the schedules of Vandy and South Carolina, I think Kentucky's offense is going to be a lot better. Last year was kind of like a growing pains. Got to figure it out. Got to figure out who's going to be the quarterback kind of thing. You know what? I'm putting Kentucky fourth in the SEC East. Pumping them up. More manageable schedule. Better offense. I think the defense will be at the same level or slightly better. And I think they beat the other teams.
And you look at a schedule that has, in the middle of the season, at Auburn, Louisiana, Monroe, Mississippi State, and Eastern Kentucky, and Vanderbilt. That's a winnable stretch. They could win, they could win, three of those
games?
And
that all leads up to the away game at Georgia. So plenty of time to rest and prepare.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
And South Carolina right before the Auburn game. So all games they can win right there.
They got to play Louisville, Florida, Alabama, and Tennessee, but they get them all at home.
Yeah,
Which is nice. So.
Although having three straight weeks of Louisville, Florida, Alabama will not be fun. That was Kentucky faithful.
But that's a rough front.
If you can
push
through that, they have winnable games right after them.
So heading into the Georgia game, it's possible that they could be 8-1. I mean, with Miami, Louisville, both winnable games, Florida, they'll lose. I guess maybe 8-2.
They'll lose to Alabama.
Let's not get crazy here. They're not going to beat Alabama.
Alabama's at home, but who knows? So 8-2, I mean, they could possibly be in the top 15 heading into Georgia. I think that's when they fall apart. But, that's an 8-win team.
I mean, that's a short fall, two games.
Another problem here again, though, is just we can see whose fault it is, but the placement of the bye week, bye week's right after game one. So then you got to roll 11. You know, they play Miami, Ohio on the road, then they have a week off, then you got to play 11 games in a row. And so, I mean, injuries, any like putting in new things, you know, that's all not good.
They do kind of have bye weeks, yeah. though, with Louisiana Monroe and Eastern Kentucky. Mississippi State is not a bye week, and neither is Auburn. They're gonna have to play really hard to win those games still.
I think if everything goes right for them, though, those games are winnable.
Yeah, most definitely. But it won't be like, you know, they'll still have to like try really hard in those games.
The starters will play in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
you're willing to go there. All right, that's it for the East. A little bit of an upset there at the end. We're saying Kentucky could go out of the usual bottom rung there, out of the cellar. Move on to the West.
Call. Okay, the West. You have a three-way battle at the top between Ole Miss, LSU, and Alabama, and I think that's how we should attack this. Get into that. Now, between the three, Ole Miss has a big upper hand in that they play both games at home. I believe LSU has to play both of those games on the road, and then Alabama splits. Yeah, Alabama hosts LSU and goes to Ole Miss. So Ole Miss has the upper hand as far as the scheduling goes. And also, the big thing I always look at is quarterbacks. You got to have a good defense, and you've got to have a strong quarterback. And the only two teams in the SEC with proven quarterbacks are Florida and Ole Miss, and that's why everyone's picking them to get to the SEC championship game. They also have a great defensive line, a pretty solid defense. They bring back 8 starters on both sides of the ball. They still have Dexter McCluster on offense, who's their little playmaking machine. Shea Hodge at receiver. I like Shea Hodge. I think he's pretty good. So I think Ole Miss has a chance to do some things. Still, though, they have such high expectations on this team going into the season, and this is not a program that has been in that position in a while, and I think that's not something that should be overlooked.
I'm actually not as high on Ole Miss as everyone else is. I know they had a great season last year. They have a lot of people returning, but just 2 years ago, they were only a 3-win team. So, I mean, a lot of those guys are what is making up this team now. In Houston, that second year at Arkansas, there was a drop-off. Running the Wildcat and McFadden and Felix Jones both returned. So there could be a drop-off here. Teams could be better prepared to face the Wildcat than they were last year. And I just don't see them being a top-10 team like everyone thinks.
Yeah, I think my problem, again, kind of goes back to what Mike was saying about the hype. It's going to be really a big issue about how they handle it, because the thing with the Mississippi last year is they were good, and they were surprise teams. First of all, they caught... You know, not that they caught teams off guard, but, you know, it's not like they were the top dog and everybody's gunning for them. And B, they lost games that they should have won. Now, they won games they should have lost, you know, beating Florida. But losing to Vanderbilt and South Carolina at home is, like, something that can't happen for the 2009 Rebels to meet the goals that they want.
Certainly not something you'd expect from a team ranked in the top 10 in the preseason. Definitely not. But it's like you said, like Houston Nutt, how great does he do, you know, when he has high expectations placed on him anyway? It's so I think they might be primed for a letdown year, worst case scenario. But like McCall said, like Jevon Snead, like Dexter McCluster, like Shea Hodge.
And of course, once again, I like the schedule. Starting at Memphis, hosting Southeastern Louisiana.
Southeastern Louisiana.
Yeah, and then going to South Carolina and Vanderbilt. I think talent-wise, unless they're really buying their hype too much, I think that's 4-0 easy. You got Alabama at home. Now, to get past the Crimson Tide, that's obviously going to be a huge game. October 10th, by the way, might be like the just best day in SEC football of the year. So if you get past Alabama at home, then you got UAB at home, Arkansas at home, who I think will be better. But Arkansas at home, Auburn on the road, then Northern Arizona comes to Oxford, Tennessee comes to Oxford. So, I mean, it's not crazy to think that they have one loss going to the LSU game at home, or possibly no losses if they get past Alabama. The schedule just lines up really, really, really well.
Them in Florida, I feel like, have kind of the same reasons going for them. Good defense, good quarterback, schedule setting up pretty favorably. Next team in the West, Alabama. The big question mark for Alabama this year, Greg McElroy coming in at quarterback, replacing John Parker Wilson. That's going to be the real big thing to watch there. He does have the advantage of Julio Jones at receiver, just like Joe Cox has A.J. Green. They have Mark Ingram at running back, who's going to be pretty decent, I think. He's no Glenn Coffey, but that'll be pretty good. Only bringing back 4 starters on offense, a little disappointing. Their defense should be really good. They bring back 9 starters. They only allowed 14.3 points a game last year.
What's their line like this year? How many of them did they bring back? Bring back 3? Those are the other 3 starters they're bringing back? I mean, that bodes fairly well for them because, you know, they can play big in the trenches, play physical and everything. That should open up things for the running game.
Yeah, they bring back two regular starters, one guy who played a lot as a backup, and one guy who played kind of had three starts. So we'll see how the offensive line does. It's going to be a defensive team, but we'll see how that works out.
I mean, I see it once again. It's a defensive team with a good run game, even though they lost
Coffee.
Yeah, Coffee. They've got plenty of running backs. Freshman Trent Richardson is supposed to be just fantastic.
The truth.
I mean, we saw him when he took his visit to Gainesville. His calves are huge, which for a running back, it's going to be hard to bring him down with that. Quarterback-wise, yeah, he's got Julio Jones. That's all that matters. Last year, they only used Julio Jones in X position, which is the easiest to learn, easiest to get double-teamed. This year, they're going to be moving him all over the field. It's going to be harder for teams to double-team Julio Jones. Expect him just to have a fantastic sophomore season.
Yeah, there's a bit of a question mark, though, regarding this news about the fishing trip. Julio Jones and Mark Ingram could possibly miss time if the NCAA rules that there's any improper benefits. Apparently, according to the AP, they went on a fishing trip paid for by an Athens businessman. University investigation conducted that they did nothing wrong, but the NCAA is yet to rule. So I mean, if it's like one game at the most, it's not going to affect their SEC slate. They could rule that they did nothing wrong. But, I mean, it's just something, it's a little controversy before, you know, the season starts.
Let's move on to LSU, and then we'll
One more thing I was going to say, Terrence Cody, fully healthy now at defensive tackle. That's big. And then, but then their starting defensive end, Brandon Dedrick got shot in the arm a couple days ago when somebody tried to rob him. I think he's going to be okay and come back at some point this year, but our hearts go out to Brandon. Yeah.
Recently released from the hospital. Also, one scheduling note, they get a bye week before they get LSU at home, so that's always big when you're playing big games.
Let's talk about LSU, and then we'll sort of rank those three where we think they're going
to win. Yeah. Okay, LSU, big year for the Tigers. It's going to be an uphill battle for them. They still have Charles Scott and Keelan Williams at running back, which is going to be really nice. They got a nice rushing attack going there. But at quarterback is a big question mark to me. Jarrett Lee was awful last year. He threw 14 touchdowns with 16 picks. 7 interceptions got returned for touchdowns, if I'm not mistaken. That is incredible.
Bad tackler, obviously.
And then Jordan Jefferson came in after that for toward the end part of the year. Threw 4 touchdowns and 1 pick. He's kind of mistake-free, but doesn't really get a whole lot done. He's going to be the starter for this year. I'm not a huge fan of him, though. So
I feel like he doesn't add a lot, but he doesn't take away a lot. So it's like it just leaves it up to the rest of the team.
It's like Matt Flynn, except without a good, like an awesome team behind him.
Expect them to use Russell Shepard, their freshman quarterback, who's supposed to be a stud as well. They used Ryan Perilou in, you know, running situations very similar to how UF had used Tebow his freshman year, and they used Perilou like that when they won the national championship. So Russell Shepard could be a guy they bring in and mold to be the quarterback either towards the end of this season or for next year.
Let me just say that if I had to disagree with everyone on our staff about something, I would say that I'm probably the highest on LSU. I really actually buy into Jordan Jefferson and Russell Shepard. I think the defense, well, it has to be better than last year. Last year was epically bad, if I remember. But kind of like Georgia.
24 points for an LSU.
Yeah, that's terrible. So if they get back their kind of traditional defense, I'm not saying that they have, you know, NFL draft picks up front, but to get back their defense, I think they're going to be really good. I mean, I was going to say that they were underrated. Then people put them in the top 10 of the polls, so that was kind of unfortunate. But I really wanted to pick them as an underrated team. But I think they're going to be better than you guys think they will be.
They do still have Brandon LaFell at receiver, who's got to be entering his ninth year.
Yeah, what the heck?
I think they also have a big freshman. I think that's another team that's got Pat Patterson. I'm confusing him with Patrick Peterson now.
They do have a good secondary between Patrick Peterson at corner and Chad Jones at safety. That's going to be real nice for them. And also John Chavis coming in, defensive coordinator for the first year. He's coming in from Tennessee, finished third in the NCAA in total defense in 2008. So that's a nice addition for them.
By the way, I love that LSU has every home game at night this year. I don't know if that's traditional, but every home game is a 7 or 8 o'clock kickoff.
They set times?
Wow. Yes.
Oh, what's Florida, 8?
Yeah.
Perfect. Oh, you guys are going to love a night game at LSU.
Woo!
It's something to see.
Yeah, they're gonna rattle the stands there. Should be great.
All right, so I guess let's rank those three where we think they stand. Ole Miss, Alabama, LSU. Bill, you're high on LSU. Start with you. Say something controversial.
Yeah, well, I want to stick with my predictions. I can't have too many different predictions conflicting out there. So I'll stick with Ole Miss winning the West because that's what I had. I had them facing Florida in the SEC championship game. But I go Ole Miss, LSU, Alabama.
This might actually ruin my top 25 that I had preseason. But
a lot of things ruin that top 25.
This also might be kind of shaking things up. But I have Alabama's one, Mississippi is two. And LSU has four. I have Arkansas passing them.
Outrageous.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Ole Miss, Alabama, LSU. I'll stick with the chalk. I like the schedule for Ole Miss. It sets up very nicely. And I like the quarterback play. It means a lot to me.
Yeah, I'm going chalk as well. Ole Miss, Alabama, LSU. Although I'm very happy about Bob's outrageous selection there.
Outrageous.
Arkansas.
Wow.
Let's move on to Arkansas. Move on to the rest of the West.
Yeah, let's do that. It kind of some excitement going on in Arkansas. I think a lot of eyes are on them as a potential dark horse team. To, I guess, finish third would be this team. Ryan Mallett coming in at quarterback. He's 6'7". I don't know if you guys knew that. That's
what?
6'7".
Supposedly, he has the strongest arm
ever.
In college football.
Ever.
Possibly ever. Yes. They
history of mankind. No one with stronger arm.
NFL arm or NFL ready armor.
Does he have a laser rocket arm like Matthew Stafford?
He probably does. I'm going to assume that he can throw the ball at least 60 yards on his knees.
At SEC Media Day, the Arkansas players were talking about how he knocks the stickiness off their gloves. He throws so hard that they have to change out gloves more often.
So a lot of drop balls.
Right.
Yeah,
I was going to say, that's great on the field.
Some other good things about them, they bring back their top four leading rushers, including Michael Smith, who's pretty sweet. Then they have DJ Williams at tight end. He's really good. I like DJ Williams a lot. Malcolm Shepard at defensive tackle is good. Jerry Franklin's a good linebacker. They bring back 10 starters on defense. However, that defense gave up 31 points a game last year.
Yeah, that's always a good fact.
I mean, they did have to play Texas. They also had to play Tulsa, who say what you want, but they're a good
offense.
They
rack up offense, yeah.
Yeah, so, and Florida, obviously. So, I don't know, maybe that'll be a little different this year. Ooh, really concerning. They gave up 24 points to Western Illinois and 27 to Louisiana Monroe.
I mean, U.S. defense returning for last season was one of the worst defenses, and they turned out to be pretty good. So just because they're returning a bad defense doesn't mean they're going to be bad.
But I think
again,
that was more of the exception than
yeah,
the rule, I think.
I mean, still possible.
There's a lot to like about Arkansas. You get everybody coming back, whether or not they're good, but still, you know, they're going to improve just from having played a second year together. The offense, you know, sleeper potential.
Michael Smith is probably the best running back in the SEC, so he will take a lot of pressure off of Ryan Mallett.
I agree. Have him on one of my college fantasy teams.
So. I would go nice. Charles Scott, but I do like him a lot.
Yeah. Again, though, I always go back to the schedule because I really like Arkansas. They showed flashes of things last year, you know, like until the fourth quarter where Florida kind of like ran away with them. Like that game was close last year in Fayetteville. But then you look at this year, they have a middle of the season stretch that is at Florida, at Ole Miss. That's pretty rough. They got to go to Baton Rouge, and then their second and third games of the season is hosting Georgia and going to Tuscaloosa to face Alabama. So that's rough.
Their away games are the best four teams in the SEC.
Yes.
Alabama, Florida, Mississippi, LSU. That's why I don't like them as much as like a good end product, but I do like them as pulling a big upset. They're going to have
absolutely
plenty of chances.
Yeah.
They've got a really good quarterback. They've got some playmakers. They remind me a little bit of Ole Miss last year, having like a transfer quarterback who was expected to do big things but was unproven. They've got Petrino, who's a wizard with quarterbacks and is a good coach. They got a good running back. They don't have the kind of playmakers on the outside that Ole Miss has, the only concern that I have, but we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, I mean, I've got them down as Florida's closest game this year, actually.
I think I agree with you.
Coming to the Swamp, probably a 12:30 kickoff, homecoming. I don't know. It's just a dicey trap game for the Gators.
All right, let's move on then, I guess, to Auburn.
Why don't we just skip Auburn and Mississippi State?
I have no opinion on Auburn. I don't know what Auburn – I know nothing about Auburn.
To me, Auburn's going to be the worst team in the SEC, period.
Worse than Mississippi State?
Worse than Mississippi State.
No, Mississippi State has no talent.
I don't care. Dan Mullen will put together some wins. Auburn, I just don't see them winning much.
I think you're falling victim to the same thing I was saying about Vanderbilt and South Carolina, where like you think so low of Auburn based on their standards that like you're willing to drop them below Mississippi State. I think we're talking a different class of suck here.
I have Auburn as a reflection of their coach, just kind of boring, unexciting, nothing really to look forward to. Gene Chizik's first year, like, can he really do anything to turn it around this year?
And the answer is no. Their top returning receiver, apparently 5 days ago, was suspended for the first four games of the season.
Worst team.
Yeah. Billings. Nice.
Good. So they got to host West Virginia. All right, good. That's excellent.
Thanks for playing, Auburn.
Yeah. See you next year, 2010.
You want to reconsider that whole being worse than Mississippi State thing? Because I stuck with it They're worse than Mississippi State.
No, absolutely not. Mississippi State has hardly any talent.
Let's just talk about it.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, let's do it.
I'm tired of Auburn already.
In short, they suck. they do have Carl Torbush, though, coming in at defensive coordinator.
Who?
Carl Torbush.
Where was he?
Well, last year he was at Carson Newman, but he was at Texas A&M before that, and at Alabama before that.
Oh wow!
And he was the head coach of UNC before that. So,
You've
got an experienced guy who's pretty decent. I think their defense might be okay, but I don't know. I'm not expecting much on offense. Anthony Dixon's good, although he did have some legal trouble in the offseason. I don't think it's been announced yet what his...
That was like Mullen's big first issue he had to deal with. I didn't see any ruling, though.
Yeah, I haven't either. Jamar Chaney's a good linebacker. But
that's about all I can say.
I don't like it very much.
Who's their quarterback? Who's their list? Who's Phil Steele got?
I believe it is Tyson Lee.
Okay.
I think he beat out Chris Relph, although it was kind of close. They also have a freshman in the mix who's pretty good, but I don't think he's going to start the year. Not a whole lot. They also play Georgia Tech.
Yeah, what?
Why are these bottom feeders scheduling Georgia Tech?
I think that's Georgia Tech scheduling a low game.
Yeah.
It's like, we'll schedule a low SEC team.
But it looks good for them because they beat in an SEC.
They also have
on the road.
They also have to play Houston, who's not great, but they're not a joke either.
Yeah, they can.
I mean,
points.
I think they could lose to Houston at home.
Absolutely. Case Kellum will put up big numbers.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so is that it for Mississippi State? Bad.
Yeah, awful.
Bad. Say, I mean,
but not as bad as Auburn.
Exactly.
They have to go to Ole Miss the last week of the season. I think Ole Miss could beat Mississippi State by 50 points.
Did they come close to that last year? 45-0 last year.
Oh, wow. And I think much better of Ole Miss. So, 60? They'll win by 60 points.
All right, so then let's – I think we're done here with team projections. I think we all have Florida, obviously, finishing atop the SEC East, I would hope. Otherwise, I'm going to ask you to be removed from the podcast. So, let's say Florida and the SEC title game with who and what's the result there?
I take Ole Miss, and I'd take Florida coming out of that game.
Bye. How much better do you think Florida is than Ole Miss?
13 points. Touchdown and 2 field goals.
I have Florida versus Alabama. And this time, it's not even close. Florida kills them by at least 20.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that more. I think Florida's just going to put an exhibition up in the Georgia Dome. It's going to be like, I don't know, 51-21, something absolutely ridiculous.
Wow. See, I think Florida's going to win, but I think it's going to be closer to the 3 touchdown range.
No, absolutely not. I think there's a chance Tebow is like sitting the second half of the fourth quarter.
Oh, my goodness. John Brantley's going to play a lot more meaningful situations.
Well, besides that. And Joe Hayden, right, I know.
You guys aren't just drinking the Kool-Aid. You have like an IV of Kool-Aid.
No, because they're losing the national championship, Mike. Don't worry.
Yeah.
They're not losing the national championship.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to talk about a different topic. A couple players each that you like, players to watch. I'll start before anybody else nabs him from me. Dexter McCluster. I'm huge on him this year. I think he's in the Percy Harvin mold of an electrifying playmaker this year for Ole Miss.
Yeah, I actually really like him because he's from my hometown. I played basketball. And, like, well, I saw him play football against my high school. I obviously did not play football, if anyone's ever seen me. But I played basketball again. Great athlete. Like, it's really weird to see his name now, you know, at Ole Miss as being a key player.
Mm. I mean, I love the two big wide receivers, Julio Jones and A.J. Green. They're just both absolute studs. Probably two of the best wide receivers in the nation. It goes without saying, Eric Berry. They're talking as a dark horse Heisman candidate, and I think that's just out of respect to him. He has no chance.
He's no Charles Woodson.
Yeah, and he's just so good that he deserves to be in the talk. He has no chance of winning it, but he deserves to be in that conversation.
Are they going to do stuff with him returning punts or returning kicks this year?
They should do whatever they need to like get him more attention.
They seem committed to really giving him a Heisman.
I mean, he's on the front of the media guide alone with Lane Kiffin. It's like, he is the team this year. Like,
they had him pose with the Heisman Trophy at SEC Media Days.
Yeah. They also had him pose shirtless with a chain around his neck in front of a car. Yeah. One of the most awkward YouTube videos I've ever seen.
Yeah, the whole team was. That was ridiculous. Do you know Taylor Mays is Jewish? I read that the other day.
No.
Sorry, I just had to throw that out.
I couldn't have told you really too much about Taylor Mays' personal life, but thanks for adding that up.
No, is he single in a relationship?
I'll tell you, he probably could play every position on the defense.
That's excellent.
We'll talk more about Taylor Mays. We'll talk more about Taylor Mays in the national segment of this.
I've got my players to watch as the two LSU quarterbacks, Jordan Jefferson, Russell Shepard. I think Jefferson will be the starter and stay the starter the entire season, but Shepard will be good as a fill-in. And then I'm looking at Chae Hodge, the wide receiver from Ole Miss, who really burned Florida on that big play last year.
I'm going Ryan Mallett from Arkansas. Petrino got 2,500 yards out of Casey Dick last year, so I'm expecting good things.
Pass happy.
I'm expecting good things from the Arkansas quarterback this year. I think that going into next season, he'll be talked about the way that Jevon Snead is talked about right now. I think he'll have that kind of leap.
Yeah, I really like your Jevon Snead-Ryan Mallett comparison.
And then I'm also going to take the tandem of Richard Samuel and Caleb King in the Georgia backfield. I like them a lot. I think they'll do good things with – it kind of depends on how Joe Cox does, if he can be a good threat in the passing game. Just throw to A.J. Green every play if you have to.
Lob the ball. A.J. Green will bring it down. Bob?
A.J. Green could have help on the opposite of the field from a freshman, Marlon Brown. He's supposed to be a big-time recruit for them, playing wide receiver, possibly taking some of the pressure off of him.
Freshman in the SEC, man.
A.J. Green did it last year, so did Julio Jones. I'm pretty sure it's possible.
You look at their stats, Julio Jones' stats were actually not all that exciting from last year. But, big playmaker, but not very exciting.
That's all you
they
need.
They didn't throw
like
a whole lot.
Yeah. Right. Well, that too. But I think it's hard sometimes to get freshmen involved in an offense, just like grasping it all. It's not that they can't make plays, it's just being there in the right position.
Yeah, but it's easier when you simplify things a little bit for them, and you have A.J. Green on the opposite side of the field taking up double teams and everyone's attention. So he'll have one-on-one all day and be able to make some plays. Reuben Randall is a wide receiver for LSU, also a freshman that could see playing time early and help out their poor quarterbacks.
Actually, Julio Jones had almost a third of the team's catches from John Parker Wilson, and he had almost 1,000 yards receiving. He averaged 16 yards a catch. It's pretty good.
It's all right.
Phil calls him a bust.
I'm glad someone had the stats on him, Jones.
I also like Larry Smith at Vanderbilt. I'm going to throw that out. I think he could be mildly exciting this year.
So mildly exciting. Really exciting. Ceiling on him.
Exciting by Vanderbilt standards.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's talk about some of the coaching storylines coming into this year. You got three new coaches, I believe, Lane Kiffin, Dan Mullen, Gene Chizik, who I've described as boring already, so let's not talk about him. And then, McCall, you brought up one coach who you think, you know, an established coach who you think has a lot on the line this year.
Big year for Les Miles, I think. He had 30 players that Saban recruited on his 07 championship team. Last year was awful. Kyle, who you guys will hear on the next part of this podcast, talks a lot about how LSU really looked like they quit on Les Miles the end of last year, almost losing to Troy, struggling a lot of their games late.
Yeah.
This is a big year for Miles to regain control of his team and show that he's not another Larry Coker who really benefited from Butch Davis's recruits and they kind of fell apart after they all left the system. So it's going to be a big year for Les Miles. I think he's kind of the coach to keep your eye on this year. I don't think he's going to get fired after the season or anything, but I think that the rumbling could start pretty seriously.
That's what I was going to ask. Do you think he's on the hot seat? And if not, do we think anybody's on the hot seat in the SEC this year?
The poor programs are just going through their coaching changes, so it's like I think we're a couple of years away from anyone on the hot seat.
The only team that could ever be considered have, you know, a coach on the hot seat would be Vandy, probably. But they
made
love,
it to a bowl.
They love Bobby Johnson. They absolutely love him down there, so I don't see him go anywhere. Rich Brooks apparently is loved in Kentucky. So it seems all the coaches are either new or they're already liked where they are. So I don't see any changes going on.
Yeah.
One thing I look at when things are going to fall apart for a coach is you see when like things start going bad, they start throwing assistants overboard, and then they get like another 2 years where it's all on them to turn it around with the new guys, and then they're out the door if it still isn't fixed. So Miles hired 4 new assistants this year, including the defensive coordinator who we mentioned earlier, John Chavis. So, big year.
Big year. With that being said, the defensive coordinator probably needs to lose his job when that LSU defense gives up like 30, 20 points a game.
Yeah.
Not good.
What do we think of the new coaches? Dan Mullen, probably of interest to people listening to this podcast. What's his biggest obstacle? What can he do in Mississippi State this year?
Lack of talent's really the biggest ceiling there. I mean, he's trying to install the spread, but it definitely doesn't have all his own people yet. I mean, I think they're at least 2 or 3 years away from really competing to be in the top of the SC West. Gene Chizik, I literally have nothing to say on him. Other new coach would be
Lane
Kiffin. Well, I'm big on Lane Kiffin. I love him. But again, I say 2010 volunteers will be good.
All right. I guess that's pretty much it for the coaches. Like we said, you know, all the bad programs have got new ones, and all the other guys are pretty much here to stay for a little while. Let's talk about, I guess, one team each who you think could either be surprisingly good or surprisingly bad. Just bring it home.
I'm going to stick with Arkansas, I guess, which I know. Which one of you was it?
That's me. That's a trendy pick.
Yeah, I kind of like Arkansas. I don't think it's going to be sustained success kind of surprise, but I think it'll be really surprising with a big win, like Kentucky beating LSU a couple years ago and getting to a bowl. Maybe something like that that sets them up for next year. I also think LSU could be surprisingly bad, but we'll see how all that works out.
My team that could be surprisingly good is Tennessee. I have them third in the East, but I could see them easily jumping Georgia, going second. And Lane Kiffin, he's got talent. He's got excitement going there. The players seem like they really want to play this year for him. So you're going to have a very motivated team with talent. I still don't think they're great this year, but they will surprise people this year.
I mean, I'm really buying into LSU, so I definitely see them finishing second in the West at the worst. I see them possibly winning the West, which is, I mean, I know they're a top 12 whatever team, but a lot of people are kind of down on them, especially around the SEC parts. And then a team to fall, I see South Carolina. I could see them in the cellar of the SEC East this season.
Glad I went last so you guys could take all the ones I wanted to say. South Carolina was definitely the team I think could be surprisingly bad. I think, you know, everybody knows they're going to be, like, mediocre, you know, at best, maybe. But I think, you know, four wins, whatever, it could be surprising how angry Steve Spurrier is by the end of the season and how close he is to contemplating just leaving it all behind and having Phil Fulmer come in and replace him. And surprisingly good, like you guys have said, Tennessee and Arkansas. I think Tennessee could finish second in the East, you know, if things go their way. And Arkansas, I have them fourth in the West, but I think, you know, they, like McCall said, they have upset potential. They could win one or two of those of the games against the top teams, but I think they'll also lose a game that they should win. So that's how I see Arkansas' season going. Anything else anybody wants to say about the SEC? Any pressing issues?
No, I mean, just the power is the way I was. I could actually see Arkansas being the fifth best team in the SEC, but yet fourth in the West.
Definitely a good point. All right, and we're going to lose McCall and Phil here, and we're going to talk about the national scene right now, bringing in Kyle Maestreet and Mike DeFerdinando. The first thing we're going to do here, we're going to go conference by conference, give who we think is going to win each division and the conference overall, point out a couple players we like. Start off with the ACC, and let's start off with the guys who just joined us. Deeper.
A couple of guys I like in the ACC?
Yeah, sure.
Well, obviously there's CJ Spiller, my boy, lightning quick from Clemson. I think Florida State's going to have a good year in the ACC. I think they're really rebounding. I think Christian Ponder's probably going to be the guy there. He's going to take them pretty far. I would like Florida State as maybe a team that's going to win that conference.
I don't like CJ Spiller that much. To me, he's been all hype and not a whole lot of production over his career. So the guy I like in the ACC is Jonathan Dwyer for Georgia Tech, their running back. He rushed for 1,400 yards last year. And Paul Johnson, he brought over, you know, the option from Navy, and that's all they run. So they're just running the ball all day, every day over there. So he's my boy, 100%.
I like both of those backs, but I'm going to go with the quarterback, Russell Wilson from North Carolina State. He's an athletic quarterback, really good. But I'm really high on Georgia Tech in that conference. I see Georgia Tech actually beating Clemson to win the conference.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Jonathan Dwyer was the guy I was going to point out as well. I think he's, you know, as we'll talk about a little bit later, possibly a dark horse Heisman guy. Definitely a guy you're going to hear a lot out of this year out of Georgia Tech. Let's roll back around deeper. Who do you think is going to win each division in that conference?
All right. I think it's the Atlantic. I like Florida State, like I said before. And in the Coastal, I like Virginia Tech probably.
And then Virginia Tech to... overall to win the ACC as a whole?
No, I like Florida State to win the ACC as a whole over Virginia Tech in that title game.
I actually have the same title game. I have Virginia Tech, Florida State, but I have a different outcome.
Yeah.
I have Virginia Tech winning, going on to a BCS game.
Like I said earlier, I have Georgia Tech over Clemson.
I have Virginia Tech over FSU, and I don't understand the FSU love. I'm going to be honest. I don't get it. I think they're good. I don't think they're that good.
You got athletes.
There's no great teams in that conference. I think it's probably actually the third... third or fourth best conference overall, just top to bottom, they're all, like, good teams, but they don't have any top teams, so anyone can actually win that conference.
Third or fourth?
Yeah.
So they have it over the Pac-10 or the Big Ten?
Top to bottom, I think every team in that conference can go 8-4 to, like, 9-3, but they don't have any of those undefeated one-loss type teams.
So it's not top-heavy or bottom-heavy.
Yeah, no, they're not going to have – I don't think they're going to have many 2-3-loss teams. They're all going to be right in the middle. So it's a very solid conference, and they can beat teams outside of that conference as well. Whereas I think those lower Pac-10 teams and lower Big 12 teams are getting killed every time.
For the record, Chris Rainey outrushed CJ Spiller last year on 30 less carries.
Enjoy.
Just throwing that out there.
Interesting. Funny note. How do you feel about
our
that?
Our stat guy just brought that stat in. So.
How do you feel about
I don't
that
respond
deeper?
To that. Jeff Demps.
No, he's not a better player.
Jeff Demps was 20 yards behind him in like 40 less carries. Yeah.
You have to realize that Spiller also split carries though with James Davis and
so what.
And the freshman Christian Harper. So
I compared their carries. Though. I didn't just say overall. CJ Spiller had 30 more carries than them.
I don't want to talk about it.
I like probably a better pass catcher than
Daquan Bowers, their defensive end for Clemson. He's gonna play this season a lot more than he did last year, and he can be a freak.
All right, let's move on to the Big Ten. I guess team you like and players you like. I'll go ahead and say a player I like: Terrell Pryor, another one of those guys. QB of Ohio State. Kyle shaking his head, dislike. But I think he's going to have a pretty good year this year for Ohio State.
Player I like and team I like Juice Williams from Illinois. Gotta love Juice. He can run, he can throw. He's had a kind of maybe subpar career up to this point, mixed reviews. But I think this is the year maybe that he takes the next step and Illinois really makes some noise in the Big Ten. Maybe makes it back to the Rose Bowl.
I really like Penn State's Evan Royster. He's really good. He'll probably carry the team for most of the thing with the loss of Derek Williams at wide receiver.
Yeah.
I also like two running backs from Wisconsin. I can see them sneaking in the top 25 because of John Clay and Zach Brown. Both are really good running backs and can really pound the ball in the Big Ten.
I also like a player from Illinois. I like the receiver, Release Ben. He got for over 1,000 yards last year. He's definitely a huge, probably one of the best receivers in the nation. But as a team, I do like Ohio State, although Terrell Pryor, I like to see him, run the ball more, actually. I just don't think he's that great of a thrower, but he could be dynamic, if he gets out in space and opens up the running game.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a playmaker more than obviously a set quarterback, and that's why I also like Ohio State this year in the Big Ten.
I'm going Penn State. I see Penn State still is a better team overall. Ohio State, they've got replaced Beanie Wells, couple other big losses for them, so I just don't think they're ready to contend with Penn State.
Beaver?
I really like Illinois, but I don't think they have maybe enough depth to get it done in the Big Ten through the whole season. So I think Ohio State probably wins out the war. But I think Illinois is a team that can make noise.
As much as I don't like Terrell Pryor, really, I like Darrell Clark even less, the Penn State quarterback. Yeah. So I don't know. I just think Terrell Pryor is going to have a year under his belt. He's going to be a little bit better. So Ohio State, I think, gets it done this year.
All right, you want to move on to the Big 12? Anything else out of the Big 10? Big 12, let's start Bobby this time.
A player I really like. I'm going to stay away from the big guys, I guess. And yeah. I'm,
I swear to God, if you take my guy.
I'm just going to take your guy and say Dez Bryant. I love him.
That would be my guy.
I'll take everyone's guy. Dez Bryant, best wide receiver, probably in the nation.
Yeah.
I also like Todd Reesing, quarterback from Kansas. But that's kind of a sentimental pick.
I also like Todd Reesing a lot, but not my guy. My guy is, of course, Robert Griffin, the quarterback for Baylor.
Nice.
He rushed for 850 yards last year, and really just a really dynamic player. You saw some crazy highlights of him just running all around last year. Really fun to watch. I mean, Baylor's probably not going to be a factor. They'll probably get to a bowl game, though, this year and have a pretty decent season. But they're in the top, they're in the South, and all the good teams are in the South, so it's hard to make noise out of that side of the conference.
Yeah, Bobby took my guy and Dez Bryant, but luckily Oklahoma State has three guys to choose from. So there's always Kendall Hunter and Zach Robinson, the quarterback, too.
Funny you should say that. Kendall Hunter was one of my guys, as was Zach Robinson. I'll stick my claim
great
into,
choices.
I'll stick my claim into Kendall Hunter. I mean, obviously, Bradford McCoy. McCoy would be my boy for... Oh, God, that rhymed. That's lame. McCoy would be the guy I'd take overall, but obviously we're trying to steer clear of the obvious choices here.
My favorite guy off the big three is Jordan Shipley, the receiver for Texas, so I'm just going to throw his name out there.
Another good choice. Who do we like out of the South and the North here?
I'm going to take Texas. They're more of a complete team, I think.
Out of the North?
Yeah. No, South. Oh, out of the
North, who do you like?
I'm going to stick with Reese in Kansas.
Out of the South, I'm actually taking Oklahoma. And out of the North, I'm going to take Kansas also. I'm going with Bob and Reesing.
All right, well, this is the year Nebraska returns to somewhat prominent. And they get back to the Big 12 title game.
7-5.
Quinton Steele's a good running back. He's going to carry them a lot. I think Nebraska in the North and then in the South. Everyone likes Texas this year. I love Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State are my boys. I think they have a chance to, like, screw things up. Maybe we go back to another three-way tie. I think they knock off one of the big two in either Texas or Oklahoma. But I think in the end, Texas wins.
I like Texas out of the South as well. Out of the North, it's kind of a crapshoot. Whoever goes is going to, you know, be ultimately irrelevant. I'll say Kansas, though, is my team out of the North.
Threw a dart with that board.
Do we have to discuss who we think is going to win the Big 12?
Are we all cool with the South, team out of the South winning?
Yeah, whoever wins the South will win the
Beaver, how prominent do you think Nebraska is going to be? Prominent enough to win?
No, they can't win. Right. But I think we'll be improved. 9 wins.
All right, good. We're going to move on to the Big East now, I suppose.
Finally, some real football.
Bob, you're going to start off.
I didn't realize we were doing non-BCS conferences today.
I'm going to surprise everybody here, and I'm going to say the guy I like is Jarrett Brown, quarterback for West Virginia. He's been backing up Pat White for the last 4 years. Extremely talented, can make that transition very smoothly.
All right, Defer?
Now that Mike Teal's passed, Bobby has no more Rutgers guys.
No, I got plenty. I just figured I wouldn't throw them out. Tim Brown, Cordell Young. I'm excited.
I'm not going to name any names, here's a list of names.
Middle linebacker.
All right, Defer.
Exciting year for Rutgers.
There's not one guy really that sticks out in the Big East, in my opinion. I don't know.
All right, Kyle, you got anybody out of the Big East?
There's not a single player I care about in this conference, so I'm going to go with Greg Paulus as the guy to watch.
Nice. Oh, I like it. I like it.
No one's good, so at least you'll get a really interesting storyline with him the whole year. And if he's good, that's just good. The media blitz is going to be insane.
I know I took Jared Brown from West Virginia, but is no one going to go Noah Devine?
I mean, yeah.
Kid's a stud. All right,
there's one guy.
One guy to like. I'll go ahead and say I like Noah Devine to claim him.
Let's also throw a little alligator love to Jesse Hester. I know he's one of all of our favorites from South Florida, the receiver.
Grew up with Jesse.
Is Brown still hurt, though?
No, he's
healthy. Because I know he was hurt.
He's supposed to be healthy.
Okay.
All right, and then the team we like, I suppose, for the Big East. Bob, you're going to say Rutgers.
Yeah, Rutgers.
All right. Kyle, give us a real pick.
Yeah, I like Cincinnati, and actually a player I do kind of like is their receiver, Marshawn Gilliard, who's pretty much total baller. He got for 1,300 yards last year, so I'm going to go with Cincinnati.
Yeah, Bearcats get it done this year, Cincinnati.
I agree. Cincinnati. Sorry, Bob.
Rutgers is a real pick. Plenty of people are picking Rutgers with me here.
Apparently Rutgers is a real pick. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't want to believe it, but whatever. The conference is so bad anyone can win.
They have the entire offensive line come back and a good running game. That's all you need in the Big East.
Rutgers used to exist when Ray Rice left in the NFL.
If they can improve on their 0-5 start from last year, they might be able to get it done.
They did that and still almost won the conference.
Well, Mike Teal, that's how bad the Big
East. I didn't say that. I just said they still almost won the conference.
All right, do we want to skip right to the Pac-10, or does anybody care about the MAC and the Mountain West?
I mean, we did do the Big East.
I would like to talk about the Mountain West, because the Mountain West,
Bob,
I feel, deserves to be in and it should be a BCS conference.
Sure.
They have teams that are always competitive and would be competitive. You put them in any of the conferences, really. This year, it's, as always, TCU, BYU, and Utah. They all can win, I think, lose one or two games, maybe three between them. The player I really like is Jerry Hughes, the defensive end from TCU. And I see TCU winning the Mountain West.
Yeah, I agree. I like TCU in the Mountain West. Nobody I am, you know, particularly excited about coming out of the Mountain West player-wise. Either of you care to register a vote in this?
I like Utah, I guess, if you pick a team out of the Mountain West. You got to replace Brian Johnson, the longtime quarterback there. But I think they got
seven-year quarterback.
And he was a four-year starter. He won a lot of games.
I'll go TCU with you guys also.
Nice.
I don't particularly care too much about the Mountain West. But I do respect them quite a bit. They beat the crap out of the Pac-10 last year. So, I mean, they're a good conference, and I like to see them get a team into the BCS maybe this year, BCS games.
Yeah, definitely.
Can we give Boise State some love?
They've
been trying to get it for years and years. They want a big team to come and play them at home.
Yeah.
They finally have a team that's doing it. Oregon, week one,
my guys,
is going to go to Boise and play them, get them on the national stage. So it'll be very interesting. Plus, they also have to replace Ian Johnson, who was there for, I think, eight years.
He was a long-time starter, as Deeper would say.
I thought he was supposed to leave after the Oklahoma
game. Yeah, so did I.
Apparently not.
Franchise player.
All right, let's move on to the Pac-10 then. Kyle, we're going to start with you with Oregon, because I know you just want to love on Oregon a little bit.
Oddly enough, the guy I really like is on Oregon State, though, Jacquizz Rodgers. By far my favorite player in that conference. He's just a little guy, but he rushes for a whole lot of yards. But yeah, Oregon's a team I like to win this year. I just really like their offense. I'm not so sure what their defense can do. We'll have to see. I know they lost a couple guys to the NFL on the defensive side of the ball. But look out for Jeremiah Mazzoli, their quarterback. He's like another dual threat guy who I like a lot. So Oregon's my team.
One of the guys I really like, and I'm not a USC fan at all this season, but I love Joe McKnight. He's going to be the starter. I know they have like 6-7 running backs that are spending time, but Joe McKnight is a stud. They'll keep him on the field as much as they can, and he's going to have a huge year this year.
My guy's also from USC. It's the quarterback, the freshman Matt Barkley.
Outrageous.
Gatorade Player of the Year, all everything. I think Mel Kiper's got him going number one overall in like 2013 or whatever.
That makes two of us to point to Gatorade Player of the Year. Greg Paulus being the
other. It's a favorable comparison for you.
I guess I'll take my guy's Javid Best. Is that too predictable?
No, cool.
I think
it's
he's
very trendy, though.
Yeah, it's trendy, but he needs to be at least mentioned.
Yeah, exactly. He needs to be mentioned if we're talking about the Pac-10. It's trendy. I like to think of myself as a trendy guy myself, so I'll take Javid Best.
I put Joe McKnight in the CJ Spiller category, by the way. Like, they're probably 95s on NCAA 10, like, amazing, fast as hell, but haven't really become one of the best players in college football yet, like they're supposed to be.
Well, I'm saying Joe McKnight has that year this year.
This is, okay. He makes the leap.
I mean, yeah, he's going to throw out like Reggie.
Straight up production. But I mean, they're two of the most exciting players in college football.
He'll have Reggie Bush like numbers this year.
Wow. Do you know what, you know what Reggie Bush
like I understand
are?
What Reggie Bush
No, you like don't. Like 1,700 yards,
yeah,
1,800
I'm okay
yards.
With that.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
There's no way
he's
on the field enough to do that. Yeah, there's no
I'm okay with it.
This is outrageous, Bob.
Yeah. He will line up in the slot like Reggie Bush did.
All right.
I mean, he could line up where Reggie Bush did. I mean, that doesn't mean he's going to put up the numbers.
Jeff Demps will line up where Percy Harvin did for part of the year. Brandon James might also.
Don't worry.
All right, let's go with teams. Teams we like to come out of there, then.
I really like Oregon. I think they're going to win the conference. They're tough. As hard as they have a really tough schedule,
yeah.
Especially early on. They go to Boise. They have Utah coming to Oregon, and they also play Cal really early. So they can get through that part of the schedule, I think. I mean, they'll still have USC later, but I think they're in good shape after those few weeks.
Yeah. I like Oregon, too. I'm glad Bob jumped on the Oregon train with me because it looked like I was bearing that cross alone for a while. But, you know, their schedule is real tough, but part of what makes it tough is the out-of-conference game. So not saying they're going to go undefeated or even have one loss. I'm just saying they're going to win the Pac-10. So if they lose to Boise or Utah, that doesn't really factor into that. They get USC at home this year, which is big for me. I think if they had them on the road, I may pick the other way. But I'm going to say Oregon beats USC and wins the Pac-10 this year.
I mean, you guys can hope and pray and want for someone to knock off USC as much
oh,
as
Oh, no
you
one
want.
Ever beats USC in the Pac-10.
It's not going to happen. It might drop a game. It won't matter. They'll still win the conference. They'll still go to the Rose Bowl. And in this case, the national title game.
Washington, wow. Washington State this year to beat USC.
Jake Locker, my boy, is at Washington.
Rarely is it one of those top teams. It's, you know, Stanford.
Yeah.
And
I can't think of a single time USC has been upset in the past 5 years. Have you guys?
But I mean, how many times in the last 5 years have they lost the conference?
No, not
all right, well, is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah.
One loss doesn't mean anything. Oregon loses every year.
It will against a good team, though.
most teams do lose every year.
One loss. I guess you could make the case that USC does always strategically lose to a bad team in the conference so that one loss that the bad team has over them won't matter because they're going to rack up 3 or 4 anyway. But this year, I actually think Oregon's going to be good. So one loss is almost a 2-loss advantage because then even if they drop a game, they'll have to drop another one to fall behind USC. So that's my thinking this year.
I mean, I can't see USC losing more than a game, so we'll see what happens.
All right, I'm going to take USC. As much as Oregon is a trendy pick, and I do like Oregon,
attaboy.
I'm going to take USC. I got to go with the history here, I guess. All right, Bob, let's give us your underrated team of the year.
My underrated team of the year is Clemson. I feel as though everyone's a little gun-shy with them after last year. Everyone had them very highly rated, top 10 team entering the season, and they kind of just did nothing. But this year, I'm confident that they will at least make some noise in the ACC, have a really good year, and get to the ACC championship game. I think CJ Spiller will finally have a season like everyone expected him when he first arrived. Their defense will be led by Daquan Bauer coming around the edge, and I think they'll actually be a good team this year.
All right, Deeper, who's underrated for you?
Well, I've got two. First, Oklahoma State, who I mentioned before, who I love. The big three there. So much talent on offense. Throw the ball to Dez Bryant, let him go get it.
So where do you think they're going to finish? They're the number 9 team coming into the season.
I think they can maybe win the Big 12. I really think they can win the Big 12.
Will they win the Big 12 or not? I think they could maybe win the Big 12 also.
I told you, I think there's a three-way tie, and I'm not sure how it's split up. Three-way tie, and they call it Paddock.
I have them being second in the South. I have Texas going undefeated, which is probably unrealistic. I have Oklahoma State losing one game to Texas, and Oklahoma losing to both Texas.
Let me just say, I'm in a much better position than all of you, because if Texas wins, so what? Everyone in the world picked Texas, and it doesn't matter. If Oklahoma wins, I am the only person in the entire universe that has picked Oklahoma to win that conference. Seriously, have you heard anyone pick Oklahoma this year?
Because they're not going to be as good.
I'm just saying that there have been a bunch of Oklahoma picks.
I've not seen any Oklahoma picks. I'm just saying, at the end of the year, if Oklahoma happens to win, I will be insufferable. Don't get caught in the same room with me one-on-one.
The other day on College Football Live, they did do a who do you think is going to win the Big 12, and with four analysts, it was split. Two Oklahomas, two Texas.
I watched something with Paulie.
2 to 3 games.
I watched
maybe 3 games.
That's absolutely insane. I'll be happy to bet you when we get off the air.
I think there's like backlash at this point because everybody's like, "Oh, Texas, Texas, Texas." So people have to kind of be like, "Wait, let's all calm down here." Here's what it is.
Everyone's upset. Okay, you guys are all emotionally attached here because you feel that Texas should have got a shot last year. But that was last year. You got to put that all behind you. Everyone's like, "Oh, Texas is going to prove us right here. They're going to have a great year." I think Texas is a good team, but I think they lost some players too. And I just think it's not nearly as lopsided as I think all the picks had been preseason.
Well, I definitely don't think it's lopsided, yeah, but I just think Texas is a little better.
I just think the places that Texas lost players is easier to replace than losing a lot of the offensive linemen like Oklahoma did. It's a lot harder to put together an offensive line where, as a defensive line, you can easily put in players.
Bobby's absolutely right, especially with the way that Sam Bradford plays quarterback. The reason he was so good last year is because he stood back there and picked people apart and no one touched him all season. If he has a bad line and he's got pressure in his face, that's going to completely change.
He'll still be able to sit back there and throw the ball. It's not going to be a problem. He's got plenty of skill players around him. As long as he gets rid of it fast, he'll be fine. He's a good quarterback. Oklahoma is not a small school that had a couple good years where like they can't replenish their players. Oklahoma is the same as a Florida, a USC, or a team like that where they just, okay, next guy's turn to go. They'll be fine. I know they lost a lot of guys on the O-line, but they didn't lose. So they have everyone else back.
It's also worth noting, though, that Sam Bradford will still be playing against Big 12 defenses.
I don't think Sam Bradford is not going to be as good as he was last year just because some of his offensive line were gone. But I do think that just everything isn't as fluid as it was last year with some new offensive line. Because while they do have, they're one of the biggest teams in the country, they have plenty of recruits coming in. Just offensive line play is just so hard to just come right in and, play well. Florida, Matt Patchen's probably going to have some troubles at times because he hasn't played the position in college football yet. So, Oklahoma's linemen are going to have times where they struggle. And against a team like Texas and talented teams, that's when it's going to be obvious that they're not as good as they were last year.
Well, to me, I'm taking the opposite view of this, which is no one plays defense in that conference anyway. So it's like if you lose a little pass protection, it doesn't matter because the defenses aren't even that good. I'd rather have most of their defense coming back. I know they lost one of their leaders in the secondary. What was that guy's name? Is Nick Harris gone this year? Anyone know? No, that was Franks, who also might be gone. They may have lost one or two players in the secondary. But I'd rather have my defense coming back for the most part in that conference and maybe be a difference maker. I feel like Oklahoma is the one team in that conference with kind of a history of playing some defense. So
the big thing about Texas' defense, though, is that they are very good at rushing the passer. They blitz a lot. They usually have very talented defensive linemen.
They just lost their best pass rusher also.
They did, but they apparently they have someone who's saying he's even better than Narok. I'm not believing that right away. I'm just saying they're saying they have people that are replacing him already. So, to have a team that is really good at pass rushing play a team that might be not so great, that's where I'm confident.
I value your opinion, and you could very well be right. All of you could very well be right. I'm just saying from where I'm sitting, I like being the lone man. I like being the one guy who can maybe shove it all in your faces at the end of the year. So, we can move on.
Right, I want to squeeze in my one more over or under team, which is going to take a little flack maybe for, but I like Washington to be much improved. Now, I know they didn't win
2-3 games.
I think Washington was a team that can win 5 games and maybe get back to a bowl game. go from no wins to a bowl game.
They got to win more than five games.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think they'll be right around 5-6 wins, which would, like, 6 wins would obviously get into a bowl game. So I think Jake Locker, the West Coast Tebow out there, Steve Sarkisian, the new coach from USC, I think big jump this year for the Huskies.
You're insulting Tim Tebow, by the way. The kid won no games last year. None. Tim Tebow's the ultimate winner.
He would have won one game.
He won a game.
But that was ridiculous. He should have won one game last year. The point remains the same.
Clearly the West Coast team, though. had that
Walker game robbed for most of, like, the end of last year, which hurt them down the stretch.
They were in good position. He got hurt. It all fell apart.
Finally starting to come together.
Well, the whole thing just fell apart for Washington last year in the last, like, 6 games of the season.
Things weren't looking good at the beginning of the season. It's not, and like, that by the end, it was over. There was no chance.
If he doesn't get hurt, they win a couple games, though.
Was it Washington or Washington State that, like, had to, like, start asking people to try out to play quarterback? Because they were at, like, there was too many, I think it was Washington State, too many injuries and, like, the backups weren't good. So they needed people to literally come and walk on to the team.
This, like, actually happened.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I guess I'll give my underrated team. I'm going to say FSU. I think they're close to where they'll be at 18, but I feel like I'm going to take a risk on them and say they'll finish in at least the top 12. I don't know if I'll go top 10, like I've been pressured to do, but I'll say they finish in the top 12 this year. It's going to be a good year. I think they're Florida's toughest game this year.
All right. Well, I have no respect for you because you went to 12 instead of 10. Also, I'd like to nominate Washington and Washington State merging into one team. No one can keep them straight. I don't know which crappy team is which. Let's just put them in. They can combine their players and maybe win a couple games.
I don't think that makes them any better. I think it's just like it's the same poor talent. It's just now you combine in poor talent.
Now I only have one team to worry about, though.
Now you have a lot more bad players.
That's fine.
I spent some time in Seattle this summer.
This makes him an expert Washington fan.
Husky fans, 2 days. Are strong people. They're desperate for winning football, and it's coming back to Seattle this year.
They're desperate because they haven't won, and they still won't win.
You are a clown, and I will mock you every week that Washington loses.
Jake Locker, so if you're out there, you're not letting me down.
On to the real underrated team in the Pac-10, which is, of course, Oregon State. They showed you a little glimpse last year. You know, they just got in there. They had a big win. They have a couple exciting players. The Rogers brothers are ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to carry them to a good year. I think they'll finish third in the conference and get into a pretty decent bowl game.
All right, let's see some overrated teams. Bob?
I'm going to go right back to the Pac-10 and go to Cal. A lot of people have them in conversations with who's going to win the Pac-10, Oregon, USC, and Cal. Javid Best, great runner, one of the best in the nation. But they're not on the same level, those teams. They will be fighting Oregon State for third place.
Hmm. All right, deeper, overrated?
Overrated team would be Ole Miss. If you're here in the SEC, I know Kyle loves them. They've got two good players in Snead and McCluster, not a whole lot else. So I don't see it.
They got a really good defense. I mean, I'm not high on Ole Miss, but Greg Hardy
is Ole Miss has never been to the SEC title game in the history of the school. I don't think they make it back. Let it be known.
I've never not correctly picked the SEC West winner in my collegiate career. All right, so I'm saying Ole Miss.
We're going to stay with that.
I'm just saying I'm 3-0. So the first 2 years were easy, though, but I did have Alabama last year. Huh. Anyway, that's neither here nor there, because the most overrated team in the nation is Notre Dame this year. I'm watching ESPN today, and people are talking to me about how if they lose more than two games, the whole season's a failure, and Charlie Weiss is going to get fired. So that's the kind of random expectations that are placed on Notre Dame after a 7-6 year last year, 8-6. I don't even know what they finished, but I just can't see Notre Dame as, like, this juggernaut again. People are talking about them upsetting USC, which I just totally don't believe. I think the first 5 or 6 games they play are against teams that they're fairly equal with, and I just don't see them running through all of those games. I think they may be better than those teams, but I don't think they're so much better that they're not going to drop one or two of those first 5 or 6 games.
Over the last couple of years, they have brought in a lot of talent. They haven't put it together. I still don't think they completely put it together, but they have the talent there. They could do it. I don't want to say they're going to be a 10-2 team. I don't want to say they're going to be like a 7-6 team. There's so much uncertainty there. I don't think you can give a definite answer. There's no reason to hate on Notre, I mean, there's plenty of reason to hate on Notre Dame, but
Join a conference.
There's no reason to be so high on them that you think they have to go to a BCS game. I think 8-4 9-3, reasonable expectations for this team.
Me too.
But 10-2, 11-1, not happening.
No.
They need to stop worrying about that.
Listen to Lou Holtz, and he's got him in the title game in Florida. So
I mean, that's all you need to know about Notre Dame, really, is that Lou Holtz picking them to go to the national title game. It's time for everyone else to jump off the bandwagon.
I think they're an 8-4 team this year. I think that's fine.
And I'm not saying that they can't go 8-4. Or 9-3, maybe they really go for it. They go 9-3, they win a bowl game, they have a good year up there. I just think this talk of like getting into the national championship game, getting a BCS at large bid, it's just not going to happen. I'll apologize if I'm wrong. I don't see it happening. I don't see them making that huge jump.
If they finish 10-2 and one of the Mountain West teams are 10-2 as well, I will be very intrigued to see who they will pick, when those Mountain West teams that will definitely have a harder schedule, or Notre Dame, just because they're Notre Dame.
That is good.
I fully believe that 10-2 TCU team will deserve to be in there over a 10-2 Notre Dame team.
Oh, our Mike McCall also said that Notre Dame will be in the top 5 at some point this season. I will apologize to everyone. I will say I'm so sorry if Notre Dame makes it in the top 5. So I just don't see how that happens without them beating USC, and I don't see them running the table up to that point.
You don't think the hype train can steal away if they win the first couple?
No, it's not against good enough teams. They're all unranked teams that are sort of good. It's like Michigan, Michigan State, Purdue, like those type level teams where it's like it's a sort of even playing field, but they're not going to catapult you into the top 5.
Okay, I guess I'll round it up here with my overrated. Not even a team. It's more of a conference, actually. The Southeastern Conference. I actually kind of like Ole Miss. I don't think they're either overrated or underrated. I like them to win the West this year. But, like, Georgia's ranked, what, 13 right now starting the year? I think maybe not top 25 when the year ends, possibly. I don't like anyone else in the East other than Florida. I really don't even like LSU quite that much. They're ranked 11. That's outrageous.
It is outrageous.
Like I said earlier, Arkansas will finish ahead of LSU in the SEC standing.
I mean, sure, but <Yeah. laughs> I still think LSU is overrated right now. I think there's a lot of love going into the SEC when it's not necessarily well-deserved. I guess we're good to move on. You want to talk about some games of the year here?
Games of the year?
Games of the year. I've got...
There's only one game of the year, by the way. I hope we can all agree on this. So let's go.
Games of the weeks.
Yeah, okay. All right. No. I was just saying down the road when we cast our, you know, when we say what we think it is. I hope we all agree.
Week one, the best matchup I saw that I like, besides Alabama, Virginia Tech, but I'm not big on Virginia Tech, so I stayed away from that, was Oregon at Boise.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, Boise finally gets a team to come play on the blue turf, play on the Smurf turf. I love the story of how they decided blue. Apparently, the athletic director at the time, I think it might be the same one, he had just gotten hired. They were making the switch over to AstroTurf. He said they had to spend a ridiculous amount of money. He said he wanted people to know that they just got new turf. They wanted the team colors. Orange would have been too ridiculous, so they went with blue.
Ladies and gentlemen, is the story of the blue turf.
Yeah.
Which is by far the most obnoxious thing.
It's obnoxious, by the way. And one of the big reasons that no one will come play them. It only holds about 32,000, though.
Loud 32,000. Yeah.
I like the blue turf.
Yeah.
How do you like the blue turf?
It's great in NCAA football.
Turf is never good under any circumstance. You should have grass when you're playing football.
All right.
At all possible.
Fine. If you had to have turf, I'm just talking about the color. I like the blue playing surface. No. I wasn't trying to get into a turf versus grass.
Their argument was that it was turf. When people got on the field, they were going to know it wasn't grass anyway, so why make it green?
I mean, it's unique, but not in like a necessarily good way. It's like someone walking down the street that's dressed ridiculous, and you point them out because they're dressed ridiculous, but it's not like a positive. It's not positive attention.
This is... Whatever. Okay, next.
All right, week two, USC at Ohio State. Going to be a good game. I think Ohio State's going to win that one.
Two teams I traditionally root against and don't like very much, but this is the game of the year for me. USC, Ohio State, so I'll definitely be watching that one at home.
Yeah, this is my game of the year. A big duel between Terrell Pryor and Matt Barkley, the future of USC. USC win.
If you guys didn't know, I was a big fan of Oregon this year. You'll tell by my next two picks as well as the first one. Week three, Utah at Oregon. I think that's excited. You guys see Utah, who traditionally doesn't get to play a big team unless they make a BCS game, and they get to play a team that could win the Pac-10 right away. Week four, Cal at Oregon once again.
There's got to be a better game. I don't have the schedule in front of me.
I couldn't find much. Cal's coming in really highly ranked. People think they could contend, so they're both Big Ten. You know, Big Ten.
It could both be top 10 teams in that game.
All right, is it just me, or is college football kind of getting a little bit of the mid-major basketball type excitement with these like little games like Utah and whoever else, you know, Boise State, or like actually become like really interesting and fun to watch, kind of like, you know, watching like a really good mid-major basketball would be during the spring.
It's just you.
It's nowhere near there, but I'm glad that Utah, BYU, TCU, Boise are establishing themselves as consistently good teams, because it'll just make it more, you know, a better push for a playoff system that these teams that are good almost every year cannot even get a chance at a national championship.
It has the couple teams, like in college basketball, you have like Gonzaga and Xavier and Butler and schools like that where like they're mid-major teams, but they're good every year and they're pretty much high-major teams. Memphis you can put in there too. Yeah. And so college football is getting that with like Boise and Utah and TCU, those Mountain West teams. But I'm not going to sit down and watch a mid-major college football game because it has no implications ever. Like, I'll sit down and watch a mid-major college basketball game because I'm going to see those good teams in the tournament later, and they could possibly knock off some teams there and do something. Whereas no one cares who the MAC winner is in college football or different conferences like that.
The one thing I do
Central
hope
Michigan.
This-
Which that's probably the team to look for with Bama Fever.
The one thing I hope this
the
does,
north,
though, is...
The Northeast team.
That's cool, Leifer. Go ahead. I didn't want to say anything. Whatever. No, go ahead. I insist. All right, I'll say it. I said I hope this is going to get these big teams to play these mid-major type teams that you're talking about here. Because if they can finally break onto some legitimate team schedule, like if Florida ever schedules Utah, like was rumored to happen, then like I feel like it's really arrived.
If you read my column in today's paper, that's not going to happen until they go to a playoff system. Because what Urban keeps saying about how it's not their goal to make a tough schedule is 100% right. If you're a good team, you shouldn't make a good schedule. It doesn't help you any.
The fact that Oregon is playing Boise State and Utah in the same year is just fantastic. I want to see games
they're
like
America's
this.
America's team at this point.
I want to see these games early. I want to see them throughout the season. I don't want to have to just get lucky with a good, you know, bowl game matchup. So without – if there's a playoff system in place, you can see games like this, which to me would be – much more entertaining than watching Florida versus Charleston Southern early in the year.
I agree.
The next week, week five, there's USC at Cal, same type of thinking with week four.
Can we get out of the Pac-10?
Don't worry, we're going to be leaving the Pac-10 soon. Every other conference apparently doesn't want to play important games early.
Sweet.
Yeah. No. Week six, Alabama at Ole Miss. You guys finally happy with that one? Yeah, happy? All right. Who do you think's winning that one? Alabama at Ole Miss.
Ole Miss.
Alabama.
Oh, 2-2.
Yeah, we're good.
We'll get this, Adam. We'll get them yet.
That was a fish
count. Week seven. we're finally at the big game. Yes. Oklahoma versus Texas.
This is the one.
Yeah, this is it. This is what the whole season comes down to.
This is my number two game of the year.
Oh, I'd say so. Who do we like in that? I like Texas.
We all knew where this was going. All three of you like Texas. I like Oklahoma.
I picked Texas to go undefeated, but Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I didn't realize you picked me to go undefeated.
Week eight, this is kind of my love pick, is TCU versus BYU.
I thought it was going to be a Rutgers
game. No. Don't worry. Rutgers does make it on this.
That's great.
I actually like that
game. I'm surprised
week one
wasn't Rutgers.
No, it should have been. It determines the Big East. How many times have I told you this? Week one is Rutgers versus Cincinnati, if anyone was wondering. let's see.
What do you got after that?
Week nine, two big games. We got Texas at Oklahoma State, and then USC at Oregon.
Yeah.
So
that's
these
a big week.
Big games that week.
Nice.
Week nine. Yeah. Don't turn on the TV until week nine. Nothing good's happening.
Except for USC, Ohio State.
Yeah, don't need to see them. TCU, BYU, you should have watched that one, I'm sorry. Week 10, Big Ten champion's going to be named Ohio State versus Penn State.
Yep.
Nice. I won't watch that one.
No.
But I'll monitor the results closely.
Yeah, it'll be boring.
Not
you
exciting
might,
football.
Maybe the last couple minutes of the fourth quarter, but. Week 11, I'm sticking with my small schools, Utah at TCU. Another game to determine the Mountain West.
I like
West.
That game, Utah at TCU.
I won't watch it, but I'm interested.
Yeah.
I'll probably watch that one.
Week 12, we got LSU at Ole Miss. Ole Miss for me on this one.
Blowout.
Yeah.
Blowout.
it's not even going to be close.
No.
Ole Miss will be rightfully revealed as a joke.
Jevin Snead throws five touchdown passes.
A Tebow-esque performance.
Runs for three, possibly.
Anything's open. Anything's on the board.
Week 13, we got Oklahoma State at Oklahoma. That's the one I'm picking for Oklahoma State to pull off the big upset.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also people around here might care, FSU at UF.
All right, so Oklahoma State plays at Oklahoma?
Yes, and Texas
goes to Oklahoma State. Yeah. Well, guys, I just want to point out that you have this all backwards, but you already know that, so.
Don't worry.
Well, you also said Florida State, Florida. I think that's going to be a big
game. I like that game this year.
I think that's Florida's most exciting game, as I've said before.
Most dangerous.
Me and Defer both agree with you. So.
All right, week 14, the game everyone's been waiting for, West Virginia at Rutgers.
Oh.
Prepare for it. Going to be a good one. Week 15, only game on the schedule, one of the best rivalries, Army versus Navy. I mean, Navy's gonna. It's the only game of the week. Navy's gonna kill Army. But
look, we're all patriotic.
It's always fun to watch like the first couple minutes.
I'd love to watch a military skirmish between those two schools.
Also, conference championship games will be going on this week, so you'll probably get a better game than Army Navy, I guess.
Probably. What are your redeeming qualities of the Army Navy game? Or that Army consistently comes out with the sickest uniforms for that game? Did you see last year they had the camo helmets and stuff? God damn it. You gotta love the camo.
No. All right. So, what was your game of the year?
Oh, well, I said it when you read it. Yeah. USC and Ohio State for sure. Texas Oklahoma is a close second though for me.
I mean, I'm gonna go Texas Oklahoma. It's just everything's on the line right there. I mean, sure, Oklahoma's gonna lose later. Oklahoma State, but that's a big game.
The thing putting that behind for me is just that they play every single year.
Yeah,
so
it's a little less exciting because you get it every year.
But no, USC Ohio State. I mean, they've played like a series. Yeah, here, but they won't play every single year for the rest of time.
Yeah.
So.
I also like USC Ohio State. It's the biggest game of the entire year.
Same. I mean, I'm a fad of them.
All right, you want to move on to some Heisman Trophy talk, a little early projections?
Yeah. Sounds good.
Do we have to talk about the big three, or can we just...
Let's exclude the big three.
Well, I mean, we should predict the winner.
Yeah. Right? We'll go into that after
let's
we talk about
the winners.
let's not talk about the only three who will be in New York.
I'm pretty sure they've already got their plane tickets, and the Heisman, you know...
They got three Heisman trophies made. They just got to pick which one they want to use. You want to talk about those guys or talk about some dark horses first, then Deeper?
I guess we can always pick the big ones first. I like Colt McCoy. I think it's the Mike McCall Emmy thing. It's his turn. So I think Colt McCoy gets his.
I think Tebow gets it mostly because the Gators should be undefeated when this happens, according to me. So if they are in fact undefeated, team success is super weighted in the Heisman voting. I don't agree with it. It shouldn't be. But I think Tebow may or may not have the best stats, but then Florida will be undefeated and he'll get a second Heisman.
I think Tebow doesn't have the best stats,
okay,
but he's still going to win it. Even though people say they don't like someone to win the Heisman two times, everybody loves Tebow, it seems. I think he'll
be
an easy
pick. Show.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Man, the Tebow love in this room.
Adam, you want to weigh in on this?
I'm going to say McCoy actually is the winner. I think the he deserves it thing is important, but I also think he's going to have the best year, and his team will be in the national championship game. So, all right, so let's go, I guess, sort of position by position here through some Heisman dark horses then, since we've got the big three out of the way. Bob, let's start us off with some dark horse quarterbacks.
Yeah, none of these quarterbacks have a shot, but Jevon Snead and Zach Robinson – both quarterbacks that will put up really big numbers on what is supposed to be good teams. So they might sneak into conversations every once in a while, especially if one of the big three has a bad game and they have a big game, they might sneak into like conversations. Small quarterbacks who are really good, Dan LeFever from Central Michigan and Case Keenum from Houston. Both will put up huge numbers. They'll probably even get a vote or two from one of the writers from around their area. But not to be considered, really.
I throw Terrell Pryor's name in there just in case he'd like. At some point, he will be in the running.
If you want to talk
he's
about
in the running.
I mean, Robert Griffin's going to finish ahead of Terrell Pryor. So
they're all fun picks, but don't worry about it.
It's all fun and games.
No Jeremiah Mazzoli love.
Nope.
No. All right. Kyle, you got running backs?
Yeah, running backs. Some guys I've already talked about that I really like. Jonathan Dwyer, GT, Jacquizz Rodgers at Oregon State. And then Javid Best, obviously we have to talk about him. He's probably like the default number one running back heading in, although I'm not sure if you finished there. And I'm also going to throw LeGarrette Blount out there out of Oregon. So a lot of Pac-10 running backs that I feel like could make a difference this year.
All right, Deeper, you got
receivers? Oh, I like Charles Scott a lot also, LSU. Yeah. So.
My boy Dez Bryant at Oklahoma State, the man on the other end of the Zach Robinson touchdown passes. just completely tearing people apart. He's a physical freak. really, Ben Illinois is another guy who can maybe make some noise, as Juice Williams, a big target. And Julio Jones from Alabama is a solid choice.
All right, and I will take some guys who have no chance of winning it, but guys who I like anyway. Guys on defense, two guys in particular. Eric Berry, no relation, safety at Tennessee. They're really trying to get him in the running, at least. So I feel like if he does, you know, everything he's been doing the last couple years, I think he can at least get mentioned a couple times in that race. And then the guy I really like, the one I wanted this position for, Taylor Mays, USC, safety. Bob said he could play any position on defense. Yeah. He's great. I like him as D-tackle? A dark horse candidate. I don't put anything past Taylor Mays.
Yeah, they might want to make sure he's got a big guy next to him. But, hey, he's like 220, you know, 6'2", something like that. So
there's no way he can't play inside.
Yeah,
runs
no,
against
no,
the 3-second 40. Oh, I also want to throw out the darkest of horses, Jermaine Gresham. Ooh. Tight end for Oklahoma. I'm just saying, I can see him catching 15 touchdowns this year. Yeah. So I'm just going to throw him out there.
No, I really like that pick.
I know defense players aren't going to get really, you know, like much attention.
Well, none of these
but,
are. But...
Yeah.
we're just spinning our wheels anyway. So.
Do you guys think Brandon Spikes will ever walk into this conversation?
No.
No.
The numbers.
Best linebacker
the
in the nation
there.
Is not going to get any talk.
Nope.
No, I just think...
I mean, I'm okay with it. I'm just
defensive
saying.
Players don't get talk unless they're running back picks or kick returns or playing a little receiver in their spare time. Yeah. So that's just how it goes. Or Eric Berry lined up at the Wildcat or doing something weird that gets them attention and scores them some touchdowns.
That's what I was about to say. Joe Hayden potentially in the Heisman yeah. running. Star defensive back, lined up the Wildcat. I guess we're going to move on to our final segment. This is what we came for, our BCS bowl projections.
This is what you all came for.
How do we want to organize this? You want to start with the go around each bowl, or do you want to make all yours at the same time?
Yeah, let's go bowl.
Each bowl. Bowl by bowl.
Bowl by bowl.
A bowl
predict
by bowl.
Predict winners for the bowls?
Yeah, of course.
Let's
sure.
do
yeah,
it. I mean, let's yeah. do it.
All right, Bob, start us off then.
Start with the Orange Bowl, because it's the worst bowl of all. Yeah. The worst
well,
BCS bowl of all.
Not this year. We're going to get a good matchup.
Bob's here to change
with
that.
With Georgia Tech versus Rutgers. Unfortunately... The Scarlet Knights can't pull this one out. Georgia Tech is too much, and they
can't stay in their lane. Stop the option.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to have Virginia Tech winning the Orange Bowl like they always do against Cincinnati. That's my game. Not a particularly good one.
I think Florida State beats Cincinnati. Seminoles get a little glory back.
I have Virginia Tech over Cincinnati. Big shock. Big shock.
I'm a big Brian Kelly fan at Cincinnati, but he just doesn't have the type of talent Rutgers got.
You do.
Yeah.
You do, according to Bob. All right, what's the next one we want to move on to here? Now that the joke of a bowl is out of the way, do you want to go to the Rose Bowl?
Yeah, let's hit...
Whoa. Yeah. It's the like granddaddy of them all.
Let's hit a
Fiesta.
Fiesta's
yeah,
cool.
Fiesta,
right. Yeah. I'm going Oklahoma State, because remember, I have them finishing second in the Big 12, versus Ohio State. Should be a really good matchup. Okay. Let's go Oklahoma State winning that one.
So you have Ohio.
And put much thought there.
You have Ohio State getting an at-large bid,
yes.
Right? Okay.
And same with Oklahoma State.
Right. Okay. I got Texas over USC. I have USC getting an at-large bid because, as we know, they're not going to beat Oregon this year. So Texas over USC. Also, a rematch of that best game ever played.
Well, I also have a rematch. I'm going to go Texas and Ohio State from last year. Same game. I think Texas wins.
I'm going to say another rematch, Oklahoma-Boise State. Really,
truly
the greatest game ever played.
You fudged it so that would happen.
Yeah.
I wish I could put one of my small schools into that into the BCS game, but I just can't. There's too many good ones that are beating up on each other this year. They just won't do it. All right. On to the Sugar Bowl.
Indeed.
I've got Alabama getting an at-large bid versus USC, who also gets an at-large bid. And we'll say USC wins this one.
All right. I have Ole Miss, who will be going representing the SEC, over Boise State. So I think Boise State sneaks in. We'll see if that actually happens or not.
All right,
they may need to beat Oregon to do it, ironically enough, but we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, I kind of like Oregon to slip in here since USC will be playing in the title game. That spot will be open now, so I think Oregon gets there. And I think possibly Illinois has a chance to sneak in. That's kind of like the dark horse.
The Sugar Bowl?
Oregon's going to be in the Rose Bowl.
I thought you were doing Rose Bowl.
Nope, we're doing Sugar Bowl.
Okay.
All right, all right. SEC teams.
All right, then I have Alabama and
go TCU. Just throw out TCU. I like it.
Actually, that's who I had down there. I had Ole Miss versus TCU.
Oh, that's nice.
My list is not with me.
You know, I don't know who I'm going to say Ole Miss would win that. I just spur of the moment right there. You just
Jerry Hughes will be all over Jevon Smith.
We both have Ole Miss taking that down.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like it.
To the Rose Bowl.
Granddaddy of them all.
Yeah, granddaddy. I've got Oregon versus Penn State. I'm going to say Oregon wins this. Penn State, once again, is embarrassed in the Rose Bowl.
Unfortunately, I have Ohio State over Oregon in the Rose Bowl this year. I think Oregon has a good run, and unfortunately, Terrell Pryor, your guy, knocks him off.
All right, well, as I was saying before, Oregon slips in there, and Juice Williams, in his return to the Rose Bowl, actually wins this time.
So did you only have one Big 12 team in a BCS game?
All right, well, I misplaced my schedule before. I actually have Oklahoma State playing Alabama in the Sugar Bowl, which means there's two Big 12 teams in.
All right, there you go.
That was a close one.
Yeah. My Rose Bowl, I have a rematch of the greatest game of the year, Ohio State versus USC. It's going to be big time. I'll say, once again, spur of the moment decision making, I'll say Ohio State takes it. My boy Terrell Pryor comes up big.
Who'd you have in the first one? The original best game of the year.
Ohio State, USC.
No,
I'm saying who won?
Oh, USC will win that one.
USC.
Nice. Ooh. All right. It's hard to beat a team twice, so
revenge.
For the championship game,
let's do it.
It's predetermined already, Florida versus Texas, with Florida winning it.
You're almost right, but it's going to be Florida over Oklahoma for the second year in a row. That's going to be painful. I know nobody wants that to happen, but you always get what you want, so we're going to go Florida. I think I had 42-30 in the newspaper was my score.
Huh.
Florida beats USC, and they cement their place as the best team in college football. The torch has passed.
Huh. I'm going to say Texas beats Florida. I know I hate doing that, but once Phil Kegler, who you heard in the first part of this podcast, brought up the thing about, you know, Florida seeming similar to USC in 2004, 2005, it was too much for me. I'm completely jumping onto that train. Phil's greatest idea ever. The best thing he's ever said.
Colt McCoy's not Vince Young. That's all I'm going to say.
I think that could definitely...
You're right. He's better.
I think that could definitely happen. I like the whole comparing, like, teams across the last couple of years, so... That could happen. I think Florida's leadership's too good, though.
I will agree with that. That is the one reason that this would not happen. I just think that Texas is going to game plan for that so well, and they're gonna come out on top.
Mm-hmm. Texas is 2005's Texas?
Yes, actually.
Not too hard to make. Yeah.
You can draw those parallels yourself. Texas is always Texas. That's it for this show. I think we've covered everything. Not everything in the world of college football, but certainly everything we wanted to cover. We'll be back Friday with a Florida-related podcast for those of you who just suffered through this hour and 40 minutes without, you know, hoping we talk about Tim Tebow more. So come back for that Friday. We'll talk all about Florida, talk all about the Charleston Southern game, and all that there is to talk about that, I suppose. So thanks for listening.